This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 190.
You should never be too emo to notice Wil Wheaton.
This is the Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I'm King Baby Duck.
I'm Blue Onyx.
And the bastards have invaded the Sisterhood's territory.
So, PAX East 2010. Oh my god. I don't know about you guys, but I'm already exhausted. And even the coffee's not helping.
I agree. I mean, granted, I only got like 4.5 hours of sleep last night because Pandalicious and I were rocking out the Jonathan Colton. We got a really nice mosh pit going. It was beautiful.
He had a mosh pit going. I was just being beaten.
Were you the chuck and chip in the middle of the mosh pit?
I melted. It was painful. But the concert was great.
But it's okay because they carried you all around the stage and everything, wasn't it?
Yes, everyone took pity on me.
That was nice. But there's been a lot to see. There's been so much going on. I've felt kind of torn in about 12 different angles. And I was wondering, you know, since this is the first convention for Blue Onyx, for sure, and the first big gamer convention here in Boston, what are some of you guys' first impressions of the East that is PAX?
Well, first of all, Block and I feel like two kids who have snuck into a porno shop and we're just shocked and awed at the glory and beauty that it all is.
There is definitely a lot to see. Blonic, since this is your first convention, like, what was your first thoughts after you got badged and walked into the first...
That's funny. Got badged.
Yeah, I got badged, and especially because of the criminal justice part of me. I wish it was an actual real badge, but more or less, it definitely was like when I was confused. I was following around the panda. I was just like, "All right, panda, where are you leading me?" And then she led me into the line of doom. More or less, it
my
was
tradition,
like it was a mile.
Know.
Yeah, the mile long, you know, line from hell, which.
It wasn't really a line because there was no one in it but us.
Yeah, but it definitely was funny because of the fact that they skipped on me and I had to try to duck under one of the things and I knocked the pipe off. Bastards. So I kind of got yelled at, but I was just like, fuck you, I'm medium. So I was kind of like, holy crap, I've already got the power under that one. So I was like, yes. So I kind of felt like, hey, I just got an empowerment more than I would if I was like, yeah, I've got a 3-day pass. Thumbs up.
He is the master of the universe. He has the power.
Punching the ribs. Anyways, more or less with dealing with going in, I'm more or less an antisocial type person. I mean, even though if people have like listened to our podcast, I do talk a lot, but more or less I'm like, fuck people. Like, I hate crowds. I hate everything like that. But I came into this and I was just like, holy shit, there's a lot of gamers. And I mean, it's not just like gamers from around the Boston area, which I mean, there is a shit ton of that. But like, I was bumping into people from Michigan, California, and we have a Panda's friend there from England. We were like, this is fucking awesome. I wanted to bump into a Russian too while I was at it. But it's great experience that I've gone through. Yeah, I love it to death, and I have to really say thank you, Electric Sisterhood, for bringing me into this.
Aww, oh, tear face.
Give me a hug.
We're group hugging.
Yeah. Hey, where's that hand? Who's that?
I didn't do that.
Sorry.
Oh, crap. Anvil's here.
So, Panda, you've gone to a couple of events now. Anime Boston, you've been to E3. You've never been to PAX Prime.
No.
What are your first thoughts on PAX?
I mean, coming from what I heard about PAX Prime, I was expecting it. I was expecting to see that West Coast vibe here. Obviously, the East Coast is like, fuck that, we're going to do it our way, and it's going to rock. And it did, in fact, rock. I liked the ambiance. I mean, yes, there's a lot of business going on here. You're meeting with developers, your, you know, PR contacts, all that stuff is going on. But that's like the undercurrent. I mean, you're just talking to people. You're just gaming with people. You're lounging on beanbags pretty much all day, and no one gives a rat's ass what you're doing. If you're having fun, that's all that they care about. PAX equals fun. I should have figured that out with the three letters and three letters. And it's been a lot of fun. I've really, really enjoyed this. And I'm expecting to see it grow and prosper and blossom into the true PAX that I know PAX East can be.
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up, because they have announced that there is going to be the return of PAX next year. And I'm assuming that everybody at this table, from the sounds of it, sounds like they plan on attending.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that it will be in the same venue, or that they may have to even try to either branch venues or move to something bigger?
Actually, there's been a lot of discussion about that last night, that the venue, like the one, you know, apparently there's like a particular, you know, structure that PAX wants to have for their, you know, event. And if you don't have those qualifications, then that's not going to happen. The Heinz Convention Center, where this happens to be, technically meets the space requirement and the room requirement, which is why it's here. But, I mean, it already sold out 2 months before the event. And, I mean, I don't know if PAX Prime sold out when you went those years ago.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, wasn't that a much bigger space? I mean...
Well, the thing about PAX Prime is that it actually takes over two convention centers that are across the street from each other and sold out, which is the reason why they decided to see if they could hold another PAX in another area and maybe split the difference.
Yeah.
And I think that it kind of shows a little bit of underestimation on their part, because they figured that they were going to split the difference in their crowd, and they've sold out the crowd here.
Yeah.
So they sold, and I know, and I mean... Like, we have people from West Coast even here, even though they went to PAX Prime in September. I don't think the Heinz Convention Center is big enough. And sadly, I don't think Boston has two equally sized venues close enough in that proximity to really do this.
If only the Bayside Expo Center was a little bit closer here, I think that would...
But, you know, that's a big venue. So I don't know why. I mean, they might think about even doing it there. But, I mean, as a last minute, hey, we want to bring a PAX over there. I mean, they could have gone to any East Coast city. I mean, they could have gone to New York. I mean, New York's got big, you know, spacious buildings pretty much everywhere. But, I mean, I love the fact that they chose to come to Boston instead of a place that already has its own convention, like New York Comic Con and Origins over there, close to, like, I think it's near Ohio-ish area, mid. So, I mean, I'm glad that there's now a gaming convention right here. I'd like to see them come back. I mean, if they have to do it here, I mean, obviously no one's not going to show up. So, I mean, but I'm the venue, I think, needs to be a little bit bigger for what they're trying to go for.
Absolutely. I think, you know, just looking at how lines had to be snaked around different places and
that's
ending
not,
up.
The lines that were going on here are nothing compared to the ones at Anime Boston. I mean, people will sit 3 hours, 4 hours before the, you know, the masquerade, and I mean, it will wind all around. I mean, the lines get horribly long. I think it's also the design of the convention center that makes it easy to wrap lines around corners, but I digress.
Well, let me ask you this. How much stuff, you know, did you guys get to actually demo and play on the floor, and how were those lines like for you?
Well, for the most part, some of the lines are okay. I think the longest we had to wait was, like, what, 10 minutes for like, one of, like, the indie games and such?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's for, like, the smaller venues. But, like, if you're going for the bigger venues, sometimes we walked up to the lines, we're like, fuck that. We'll wait for, like, the media time or something like that if we can get in, if they'll let us. Because sometimes it was kind of like that, but then the other parts it wasn't. But back to the king.
But one of the things that I was surprised about, speaking of, like, the early press venue, that Rockstar was not even doing anything for early press. They made us wait to try out Red Dead Redemption, which I even haven't had a chance to play as
we speak. That line was a hoot hoot, and by a hoot hoot, I mean a suck suck.
Yeah.
And not a good suck.
Fuck
no.
That shit.
No. It was a cheap suck.
Rockstar didn't. I mean, they were slowly letting press in. I think 5 minutes in, but the demo is easily like 15 to 25 minutes long. So that 5 minute cushion wasn't enough to even get three media people out of the booth to send in three more.
Yeah.
So I mean, the line was already pretty long with media alone, and then as soon as the floodgates happened, well, fuck all to hell.
Yeah,
I know.
So wait, so how many were officially in the booth again? What?
I think there were about seven TV setups. I think there might have been some behind where I was, but I was like at that first one the minute you go through the curtain. So I mean, like, I went straight to my demo. And I mean, literally, while we're sitting there waiting, a lot of the media were just like, this is unbelievable. Everybody else is, you know, they're sitting there talking, they're filming, and Rockstar's like, no, we're not going to start yet. And apparently, and this is speculation, I'm not quoting any direct, you know, facts here, but I got my demo from the project manager, a very nice man, and he wasn't even supposed to be doing demos, but because some staff was missing from maybe partying a little too hard.
Well, you know those rock star people.
They're rock stars. They party like rock stars.
Yeah. With the other thing that was kind of worrying me, but I mean, not to be negative about 2K, but it definitely was kind of like, it was definitely a fascist feeling sense. Like, I felt like I was in Nazi Germany. Like, it felt like, oh, shit.
Work
you know,
will
like,
set you free.
They're yeah. like, get in the knot line that is here for media. You know, they were like, you got to stand there and say that you're not in line, but people kept on trying to get behind us. We're like, are you media? They're like, no. Do you have an appointment? No. You're going to have to go talk to them because you're probably only going to be able to play Bioshock 2. And I'm like, what the fuck? Bioshock 2 is already out in stores. Son of a bitch. Why are you even giving us that? But then also, we were able to get in, and it was kind of weird. We didn't get to actually physically play Civilization 5.
Yeah.
It was a theater kind of setup.
Yeah, but all of us was like just a PR guy and one of the, I wouldn't say head producer, but one of like the game designers is showing off like for 20 minutes like what they are currently working on. And we're not even able to discuss like what they were showing and stuff. It looked gorgeous, just to let everybody know.
Yes.
But just having to deal with all that and not be able to get hands-on with Civilization 5 kind of pissed me off.
Yeah, I tried to pull out my recorder, and, you know, I put it under my hand on my lap. I was just like, okay, gonna record this, gaty-gaty, you know? And then they were just like, okay, guys, this is our, you know, badass computer, blah, blah, blah. All right, after saying that, we're gonna get started. Now I have to tell you, put your cameras and all that other shit away, because you cannot record blah, 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 this and that. And I went, deet, son of a bitch. I was waiting for them to yell at me because I was right in front of them.
I think he might have been eyeing you.
Yeah, he was eyeing me too.
I wasn't there, but I feel he was totally eyeing you.
More or less along those lines, I was like, son of a bitch. I was like, this really sucks. And, you know, and that was the other thing, like, the people that they had, you know, presenting a lot of the stuff, they didn't know what the hell was going on in the first place. Like, you could ask them, like, the minor questions, but when you went to go and say, okay, so what else is going on here and blah, 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 they're like, it was kind of like, I cannot confirm or deny, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, are you guys under, like, a clause or a contract or something?
Probably an embargo, probably.
Yeah, exactly. So I was kind of like, I felt, like I said, Nazi Germany. I was kind of like, I kind of feel uncomfortable. But I do have to understand and respect the whole, you know, we're putting on a game sense, and we want to make sure that we kind of keep it as secretive. Playing Mafia 2, the King got to play it, so why don't you give your perspective? And
well, I really didn't get much into the mission mode. I was more of driving around, beating people up, and running them over, and
shooting
such.
Random people.
Like Grand Theft Auto.
I know this sounds sadistic, but I enjoy doing that in the Grand Theft Auto games and the Saint Row games because it's a good stress reliever.
Absolutely, absolutely. Unless you play with this one who likes to just, you know, shoot police in the face. And
okay.
Then jump
oh.
Yeah,
like,
I come up.
Run! Run!
Okay, are you starting up a hardcore rap band with Ice-T called when playing Cop Killer? Is that what you're
doing? I'm sorry, but that's the only place that I know that I could shoot a cop in the face and I have a chance. A better chance of getting away in a game than in actuality, because at least you can. I can't jack a car in real life. I'd be like, shit, just open.
But
that's it. We're done.
That's it.
Hands up in the air.
What's cool about Mafia 2 was even when the cops caught you, you can right off the bat just bribe them, and then they'll just walk away. Whereas in Grand Theft,
why didn't they do that in Grand Theft? It's like, no, I'm Nico Bellic. I got lots of money.
Yeah.
I shop at the really nice clothes shop here.
Here's some money.
Well,
they should implement that. That'd be great.
I think what they're probably going to implement on that is, it kind of has a Chicago feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
So if that could get into the point where there's like the untouchables, like if you bring that into the case, it'd be like, fine, here's some money. Just leave me alone. Oh, now you got to bribe around the cop. Oh, it's going to be a hell of a lot worse. But they probably would be like, yeah, you're going to go through a court case on this. Nah, they don't want to give you that real aspect. That was just like, here's some money. Okay, you're free to go after seeing that I just saw you steal a car and shoot somebody, you know?
Now, we were listening to a lot of the voice actors, and I think I heard Big Pussy from The Sopranos in there.
Yes, I believe he was in there. They brought in a lot of the Italian-type styles. I mean, that's basically what the Mafian setup is. More or less, it's not like the first one. It's kind of weaning away from like the 1930s into the 1940s because you're starting to see like the Cadillac setups. The old style, like the nice 1940s to 50s Cadillac style. But this is, you're not seeing the, well, you kind of saw the old wood wagons, like as I call them. They did a really nice design job on those. But along the lines of playing the game, you know, there was a part where you dealt with the like a scenario that they gave you. I'm not trying to go over what it is, but when you're trying to get into the car to chase the sons of bitches, you're trying to get him, and you're like, why the fuck isn't this car going faster? And then I heard the line, he's just like, dude, step on it. Dude, that pedal's to the floor. This thing got no friggin' power. So I was kind of like, great. They gave you that kind of the reality of the shitty cars back in the day. But yeah, after all that, I mean, the PR person was really nice. What was her name again?
Jenny Sue,
yeah, she was.
She felt
great.
Really bad about the situation too.
Yeah, they may have accidentally double booked, and then also like they were kind of went, you know, 15 minutes. Like they had like a 15 minutes interval. Like, I mean, we were waiting there at our time that we got there for like maybe 20 minutes, and then they tacked on the 15 minutes. So we were there for about maybe, I don't know, under 45 minutes, just waiting to go and check out Civilization 5, and then play the Mafia 2 game. But after all, It was a great setup. I was happy about that after finally getting to play it.
So there are lots of different developers as well as vendors here. One thing that's really different about the PAX East show from things like an E3 is that there are more vendors here. There are actual sales that go on the floor as well as demos, which is probably a reason why you see some games that are actually in stores now as well as products that are in stores now. In talking about some of the vendors that you went to, what are some of the more interesting things or things that maybe you weren't aware of before PAX East that you've learned about since visiting?
Well, first and foremost, the headset that you're currently wearing right now, Triton Technologies.
No.
Oh, that's not Triton?
No, these are Beats by Dre.
Oh.
They kind of look like that,
but...
Except they have... reversed half tees to make a full tee.
Oh,
that's okay.
Damn it.
Well, that's all right.
Pardon us.
We apologize. But Triton Technologies, this is the first I've really heard of them. You know, when they emailed us asking if we can do an interview with them, I never really heard of them.
But yeah.
If you had watched WCG Ultimate Gamer, like they were the big...
Sponsor
of that, so like they had all the headsets, they had all like the chairs and the little logos everywhere.
Right.
So that's what they caught my eye, and then I started looking at their stuff, and I was blown away.
Yeah, and then we were walking around, and everyone's rocking the Triton Technologies.
Yeah.
Practically every booth, with the exception of their competitor, the Turtle Beach. And we were talking to the guy. We did an interview. It's on the Boston Bastard Brigade website right now. And we were just—he was just going through like what the headsets are like, and one of the headsets that they're currently rocking is literally a whole surround sound for your head. They've got three speakers.
No,
and
actually
each.
Four speakers in each, because you got your bass, your subwoofer, and then the two setups to give you the front and rear sound on it. It gives you the aspect of. Instead of having the surround sound set up like I would at home. And, I mean, that's still good. And, I mean, I'm still rocking an old Cambridge Soundworks setup from back in like 2002, and it still works great, and it still gives me the capabilities. I mean, it's not Dolby Digital 5.1. I mean, this is what they're rocking. I was like, holy crap, and playing... Modern Warfare, they let us play World at War. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to it, and I was really impressed of how the sound quality was. It was great. I was loving to run around with a machine gun and blasting people away.
And the noise cancellation was really good, so I felt like you were in this world while you were playing this game.
Especially with the thousands of people around you. Like, you know, I thought that was the other scary thing, was doing the whole factor of our interviews is the sound. There's so much going on. There's people, you know, yelling. There's loudspeakers, everything. But we were still able to get through this. And the other thing that they were representing, because they had their big bus together, was Gunner glasses. And I think that it gave an awesome aspect, because it's for gaming. It's, you know, big... Ninja Sister had like got to talk with them and took really great pictures, and I hope you got that up on their website.
Oh yeah. The pictures are actually up on our Flickr account now that you can check out. But it was really impressive to me about the combination of Triton and Gunner, that you had some really nice high-end peripherals for gamers that aren't just additional controllers or skins for controllers or buttons to better your grip.
Yeah, freaking accessories.
But are actual useful peripherals. You know, having surround sound headsets that you can use on your PS3 or on your Xbox 360 when you're playing games like, you know, Modern Warfare and Gears of War, team events, things like that. You know, those are really impressive and important things to have. You know, sound can be killer, especially on a tournament level, if you don't have the right equipment. And I don't know anyone who wears glasses that is a gamer that doesn't suffer from any kind of eye fatigue at some point in time in the day. So to see that there are companies that are startups that really seem to get the mind of a gamer because they are gamers themselves. You know, Gunner's technology is a eyewear that is tinted, also has a gradient, but you can actually work with an optometrist to get your prescription put in. So you can have one pair of glasses that you can wear if you're looking at a computer screen all day to help bring down eye fatigue. And then when you get home, jump into a freaking game of, you know, Grand Theft Auto online with friends and not suffer any additional eye fatigue than you would before. In an affordable rate, I mean, $80 to $120 is what I would pay for a prescription pair of glasses that don't do shit other than let me read.
Yeah. See,
so like, reading is fundamental.
It is fundamental,
yes.
Children.
Yes, it is. It is good to read, but
especially manga.
I suffer astigmatism, and I went up to them and I said, "All right, you know what? I've got astigmatism. What is this capable of doing that?" And the guy checked out my lenses. He's like, "You know what? Your lenses are thin enough, and we can support your astigmatism and everything like that." And I was like, "Great, give me the sign up sheet, and I'll bring it to my doctor and get my numbers and order it." And I will be happy to like try out these glasses. I mean, like, that's the thing I have. Also, I have those glasses that tint when I'm in sunlight.
Transition glasses. Yeah,
yeah.
Transition. Mine too.
My biggest ordeal is I'm driving in the morning when I'm going to either college or I'm doing work or whatever, and I'm getting my eyes melted out of my friggin' skull because, you know, the sun is bright in him. And what it is the UV light is getting bent right through the window, but it's not coming and tinting my
glasses. So
it's like I got to hang my head out the window just to go, "Okay, come on, sunglasses, get a little bit darker so I can see while I'm driving," you know. And this one seemed like you got this, it's kind of like a yellow tint. It's, mm-hmm. you know, it's perfect because what it is, you know, you could go in from outside and then come in and you're not affected. And they had a little viewing screen to show you like what it is. And I was kind of like, "Oh, my eyes are kind of tired anyway, so I'll just try to." But my eyes feel like they're wider. Like I don't have to, I'm not like squinting. I'm not like that. I was like, I'm sold already just because of how great it was.
And on top of that, they're pretty stylish, so you can even wear them outside of gaming. You can walk around. You can look pretty cool. You can strut around on the fashion line and walk the boardwalk and do all this cool stuff outside of gaming. You can be in the club rocking these glasses,
yeah,
and you will be the life of the party.
absolutely, because the one thing that I was impressed with as I started playing with the glasses was the range of frame styles. Like, they definitely had some styles that, you know, scream I am gamer, like the ones with camo tips.
And, I'm the geek.
I am geek.
Hear me roar.
But then they also had the sets that seemed definitely aimed towards being able to wear in an office, being able to wear, but still look nice and be lightweight. And that's really important for me, because I want a pair of glasses that I can go to work with, because I stare at a screen all day long coding, but then I still want to look good while I'm at work, and when I come home, I want to be able to look good when I have people over and I'm spanking their ass when we're playing games.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, it does have the business look to it, and I felt that that was great. That is another aspect that they could put to it. Also, I got the balls to be like, you know what, do you guys, am I going to be able to capable of bringing this to the gun range? Because I love going to the shooting range, and I was just like, you know, a lot of their eye protection and all that other stuff, I want to be able to go in there and be like, you know what, these are also capable of taking, like, you know, powder residue and all this other stuff, and I want to put it through the strainer, basically. But I'm hoping that we could get really good contacts with them, because they're great. And the guy that we, was it Fred? It was Fred. Fred Schwer. He was great. He did the interview so professionally. He went through like all three of the aspects of the headset, and then he brought us over to the glasses, and he showed us everything.
And
we loved it.
And if you want to hear that interview, just go on our B3 website.
Yeah.
And he was pretty cool.
So in talking about the event as a whole, one of the things about PAX and that they've always prided themselves on is being about the people. You know, bringing games and demos and things to the group of gamers that, you know, otherwise wouldn't be able to go. You know, we can go to E3. We can get into E3. Not everybody can. And so in looking at the crowds and how things moved, what were some of the things that you were observing about the crowds? Like, where were they going? Where were they moving? What seemed to be, like, the most interesting things to them? And what were kind of some what-the-fuck moments for you when you were looking at the crowds?
I was kind of looking, I was really noticing a lot of people were going near like Alienware and NVIDIA, around those places, because they were holding like tournaments and people were just going crazy as people are racing each other on Portal and even World of Warcraft. And then we were also looking over at EA where they got Skate 3, and everyone's just going ooh and ah at this one game where you skate off and you basically the more you get hurt, the more points you earn.
Well, yeah, that's basically on Skate 2, I believe.
Skate 3.
No, that I'm saying it's on Skate 2 as well, but they've updated it and made it crazier, because when you see the guy crash down, you're hearing the bones crunching and you're seeing the actual skeletal like structure getting crunched in and just getting just fucked up. It was beautiful, and people are just like, all you're hearing is, oh, damn it, that looked like it hurt. You know, it was really funny.
You quickly forget that this is not a real person that's on the screen. That's how realistic it looks.
Along those lines, I mean, there was the people that were hopping at the Alienware, you know, they were playing Alienware tournaments. They were, I think it was mainly because of the tournaments, people were able to play the games and actually win shit. Like, if you win at the Skate 3, you could actually win an actual skateboard.
Right.
Like, a skateboard deck, not, like, a full skateboard, but it's a workable skateboard. I was definitely blown away by that, and I'm hoping that if I get in there today and try it, and hopefully I can win one.
Well, the thing is, it's like over 70,000 points if you get that.
Yeah, and if you get the highest score of the day, I think out of the 3 days, they put those three in a raffle, and whoever gets picked out of that will get an Xbox Elite and their game franchise.
Yeah, custom Skate 3 decked out.
Woohoo!
Xbox Elite and a deck and a copy of the game.
So go out there and get hurt,
because
you'll get shit.
But only in game.
Only in game, not in real life.
If you fall off your skateboard in real life, the only thing you're going to win is a trip to the emergency room.
Oh, too late.
And possibly the morgue.
We just killed a bunch of our viewers.
Oh, damn it. I hate when I do that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, when I love the, I was looking at Split Second, and I was looking at this because of Pure. I played the game, I own the game Pure, and I was playing this, and I was always blown away by the graphics, and I found out Disney and BlackRock Studios were back at it again, and they created Split Second. I was like, fuck yeah. And, I mean, right now they weren't showing its graphics. Like, they weren't, like, putting out their best foot forward on the graphics in that sense, but the game itself was so much fun. And we were able to talk to them, and hopefully we've gotten onto their email list and hopefully get a review in for them. I mean, that's the best thing about doing this, is being able to actually go up to them and be like, okay, we're part of this group, and, you know, we want to be able to review and get ourselves out there. We want to be able to, you know, get your stuff out there, too. We want to tell the pros and cons of the games.
Mm-hmm. Tell your friends.
Yeah.
Tell my friends. We can be friends.
Yes.
I want to mention, too, even though I lost at this game, I was having the time of my life. And usually when it comes to racing, even with, like, the Mario Kart Wii, you get so frustrated when you lose. But split second, I thought, okay, I lost. Big deal. It looked like it was a hell of a lot of fun.
Now, do you think that there was really a lot of awareness of split second? Because I really didn't know anything about
Me
it.
Neither.
I didn't really know that it was going to be here until I walked by it after leaving Gunner.
Because, we saw that Disney was listed on the PAX East thing, and to be honest, I thought they were going to start showing off Epic Mickey.
Right.
Yeah, that was the one thing that I was like, okay, Epic Mickey's got to be shown. But when we walked up, there was, two on both sides, four ways, I don't know, there was about 8 screens that they had all together, and you were able to play, not against each other, but against the computers, and it was definitely impressive. And I was kind of like, okay, where's the Disney Mickey? I want it.
Believe it or not, there was some speculation, we were talking about this last night, that, you know, a lot of the games that are here are coming out within the next 2 months because everyone's kind of holding their big shit for E3. So none of them were going to... There was probably a very slim chance that anything new that we have not seen at all was going to be showcased here.
True, but I mean, in histories of PAX, PAX really hasn't been the place that development companies have gone to make their big announcements.
Mm-hmm. But I'm kind of shocked with Nintendo specifically, because if I'm not mistaken, Metroid Other M comes out next month or something, and they didn't even show it off here at PAX East.
There's a very thin veil of Nintendo here.
Yeah,
not kidding.
There's barely any.
Well, I mean, think about it. You know, there's some Nintendo. Microsoft definitely has a showing here, and they have lots of gaming booths that are set up for people to come through and try Game Room as well as Limbo and some other games, but Sony's not here.
No,
and I'm surprised.
You know, Sony has not. I think
PAX East, since we're brand new, we're in our baby learning phase, that they want to see us grow up a little bit more. I mean,
they haven't attended PAXes in the past either.
But Harmonix isn't here. Square Enix isn't here.
Harmonix is here.
There's no booth for them.
Yeah, the Rock Band Nation. They took over that time.
Okay.
So yeah, they
have their own special Oreos.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're here, especially because they're based out of Cambridge. It's like taking 3 cabs down here, and boom, they're done.
All right. So Blanc and I gotta check that out.
But you're right. Square Enix definitely isn't here. And
I saw a lot of Square Enix cosplayers.
There are lots of cosplayers. I have to say, there were more cosplayers at PAX East than at PAX Prime.
Yes, but there were less. It's weird, because even though there are more of them here, Anime Boston last year had more gaming cosplay than anime cosplay.
But I've also noticed that here at, like, PAX East, you mentioned all the cosplayers, but I find that there aren't, you know, first and foremost, there aren't as many as at Anime Boston, because it feels like gamers are more incognito than some of the otaku. And would you
agree with that?
Yeah, I would completely agree with that.
Although I wish I could have an army of 2 get up and walk the hell around here, that would get Boston Master Brigade out and out a little bit more. But I just been trying to design that setup, and it's been a son of a bitch. I got to get me a Jason mask and put the Play-Doh over the top of it, let it harden, and then paint. I'm not good at arts and crafts.
But you can try. Maybe really pretty.
I made a turkey with my hands.
Exactly.
I did that one time, and then I made a star, and then I made a chicken, then I made an elf. But, you know, in talking about it, we've definitely more cosplayers on Saturday than on Friday.
Yeah, what was it? I saw one of the guys with the Gears of War set up, and then also there was the Fallout guy. He had a pretty badass costume. Some other ones I didn't really recognize. I was kind
of
like, who the fuck are you? You know, you look like Beauty and the Beast.
There were some Mass Effect people.
Yep, I saw that. You see that shepherd?
Yeah, I saw the shepherd.
That was a good shepherd.
Shepherd as a woman.
Yep.
There was...
I saw Link And yeah, I saw like another one. The Link was, she was, it was a girl. And you were like,
wait. Cosplayer.
Yeah.
there was also one anime cosplayer. She, when I was over at the Rock Band free PlayStation, she was just sitting there from Bleach, and I'm just like, I appreciate your effort. Wrong place.
Yeah.
I was talking with someone on our way back from Jonathan Colton. They said they saw someone dressed as Eureka from Eureka 7.
Yeah.
So, I mean, unless there are games out in Japan, which I wouldn't be surprised if there
are.
There are. So, I mean, there's a blurry line between, you know, what you can get away with. And I'm definitely positive that there's a Bleach game. So
yeah,
that's
Bleach Shatterblade for the Wii.
So that's probably where she was coming from. I mean, it didn't click to me there first, since primarily when I see it, I think, anime!
Yeah, there was that weird guy in the cafeteria that had the green Full Metal Alchemist.
Yes, which I totally didn't understand. I'm like, that should be red.
I think he was practicing and he came to realize, damn it, wrong color, I gotta do this all over again by next week.
Like another small game that popped out at me that I have in front of me is Monday Night Combat. It kind of was like, if you ever seen that crappy movie called Rollerball, and or otherwise, to compare it in a game sense, I actually almost confused it because it looked and kind of seemed like that at first glance of Team Fortress 2. And I was just like, is that another Team Fortress? What the fuck? I didn't see that on Valve. These are new updates. And I looked at it. I was like, Monday Night Combat. What the fuck? And watching a lot of the people play, because I wanted to get my hands on it, but I wasn't that lucky yet, but it will be coming out soon on like Xbox Arcade and maybe PC, probably Steam or something like that.
Okay.
And it's by Uber Entertainment, and I was definitely blown away. It's beautiful in every graphical sense, and also it's badass because one of the characters is actually based off one of the guys who does the designing. He has a martial arts background.
Okay.
So he was able to take and do all the movements, record it, and then bring it into the game. So if you have like one of these, I call him like a ninja type person. I'm not exactly sure what the person's called. So don't quote me on this.
A shinobi?
Yeah, basically a shinobi. He is based off one of the movements from the characters, and you'll see him like flip around his swords and do flips around the character to beat the crap out of him. It's very impressive. And I'm, like I said, blown out of the water because of how this setting is.
Although I would have loved to have seen a blooper reel for that video.
Yes, I would have.
I was like, all right, we're going to do Headlet.
Because he was crazy. Like, he was, the sword play he was doing, flips off the wall. I'm like, dude, you're a gamer. You're not supposed to be able to do that shit. What the hell's wrong with you?
You're setting a bad example for the rest of us.
I know. I can't, well, I can do
like,
back.
I'm never
going to
reach
but
that expectation. I can barely walk in a straight line.
True that.
Or jump.
Yeah, and you had to drag. You were dragging us behind, literally.
I was. I have shorter legs than most people.
Especially compared to the bastards.
Compared to the bastards, I have shorter legs, so they're all like, whoosh, and I'm like,
power walking.
Guys, wait.
Yeah, so what I was thinking was we could have just attached a line to my backpack and she could have just dragged
me
as a wakeboard setup and just put it on a slip for. I mean, this is perfectly waxed floor.
She could
floor
have pulled tricks and everything going,
choo! Could have done rave.
And then I could have jumped out in the back with like a score doubler. Two times! Multiply!
That rave. What was that? That game for N64 when you were on the jet skis. Rave
Jet Moto.
No,
not Jet Moto.
Rave Race 64.
Wave Racer.
Yeah.
I was like, do a barrel roll.
Yeah.
That kind of But that obviously didn't happen. I didn't feel too comfortable.
But getting back to like the whole actual play of it, I mean, I felt that the ones that were really coming out into the play was the lower end games that you're gonna just be able to buy right off the arcade. The arcade settings on your systems. I mean, like if you take WiiWare, they weren't really putting things out there too much today. And also the whole weekend. But like looking at the Monday Night Combat, we talked to the guy. He says, you know what, I'm tired of is having to get the hell up, open up the CD tray, and I know this sounds lazy, and putting the damn disc. Because sometimes you just want to just plop down, you got your controller already in hand, go, pop on the game and go, fuck, I have that game in the tray, I don't really want to play that. You know, it's like, fuck, now I have to get up. I'm already comfortable from the longest goddamn day at work that I had to do today and taking on all the bullshit. And I mean, I feel him on that because I have my long days too, and I just want to plop down and not have to like, no, not that. I mean, but that's a lazy gamer for you.
Well, I don't even think that it's a lazy gamer. I mean, we're living in an age of digital distribution. There are movies on demand
and
now, music on demand now. There are even, you know, I think we've gotten really comfortable with how you can purchase games through Xbox Live, and you can run copies of things off to your machine. So, you know, digital distribution, I think, is definitely the way that the industry is trending towards.
Yeah, no product placement in you know, play here, but this other company called Play Now, they have a setup where you can get
play
like
on.
Oh, I'm sorry, play on.
Dyslexic fail.
Yes, dyslexic fail.
Dyslexic disc.
But you're able to get Hulu, Netflix, YouTube, and all this other stuff by their system. I bought in on it, and I'm going to write a review, and I'm going to try it out. And I was trying to see if we could get it set up that, like, can you get this straight to the laptop? Because I'm kind of tired of trying to go on these other websites that's supposed to be legal, illegal and everything like that, so I can watch some damn Bruins at night when I'm at work. But he says that it's not really for that quite yet, but you could just go to Hulu and all those other things to watch your programs. Yeah, this is definitely, I'm going to give this a I'm going to give this a try, and I'm going to give a good try to give the best review I possibly can for trying out all their stuff that they have. But yeah, they were like, this is a sweet deal. Like, they're usually $40, and they gave us a deal of like half off, except for taxes, which is, that's, you know, Massachusetts.
Yeah. That's
I mean, awesome. Yeah, that's the other issue. It's like, why couldn't they have like kept like, you know, PAX East is like, yeah, we're not really a, you know, or otherwise, why couldn't they have put it up in New Hampshire? You know, I would have been like, ka-ching. No taxes. But yeah, it was great. Like, we got another game here, Joe Danger. I mean, it was kind of like the little side scroller bike racing game.
Excite Bike,
you know, that it was on WiiWare, but it's going to be only, I think, on Wii and PS3. And they said nothing on 360 quite yet, or never. But
basically, the premise of Joe Danger is you're like a stuntman. And you have to do all the tricks and such to impress the crowd. And the more you do, the higher your score is. And the higher you get your score, the more levels you unlock. It was pretty impressive. And it was pretty funny, too, when you drop, like when you fall into like the shark tank and you see yourself getting eaten. It's great.
Now, somebody else that we were talking to, we were walking around and we saw this kid playing guitar. We're like, oh, that's cool. You know, what are they trying to sell here? And we thought it was just going to be another Rock Band game. Well, it's kind of like another Rock Band game, except without the drum set. It's more or less along the lines
of Guitar Hero.
But it's called Power Gig, and it's called The Rise of the Sixth String. And these motherfuckers have stolen a goddamn idea out of my brain. God damn it.
Did you get a chip installed too? Because lately I've noticed that after I got this chip installed, all my great ideas end up on TV, whether in radio, like the Snuggie.
Yes.
That was totally my idea too.
So we have you to blame for that.
Yes.
Someone stole my idea wearing a bathrobe backwards.
Yeah, but we didn't make the money off of it. So.
Yeah. But this is actually based on, you're going to be able to actually use a real guitar to play the game. Instead of like the whole, hey, I've got a plastic little switch thing here that I strum, and then I hold buttons.
Hey, don't knock the peripherals.
Hey.
Do not knock the peripherals.
But in the other sense, I really like thought, you know, why couldn't we get a game that was set up with the actual six string and be able to teach these sons of bitches how to play guitar instead of like, yeah, I rock it, you know, Rock Band and blah, 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 thousands and millions of points and stuff. But it's
here's a real guitar. See what you can do.
I didn't know, but I believe South Park did a spoof on that.
Yes. Guitar Quiero was the episode.
Yes. I actually...
Like, look, guys, I can actually play it.
I can play acoustic.
Oh, my God, I love this song.
Yes. But this kid was actually able to play the guitar straight out. He was playing all the song. He was just playing the song straight out. They didn't show, like, any of the actual game peripherals, like how it was going to be. But from what we heard of word of mouth, and we're trying to actually talk with the guys and get with them about this because they're in the actual local area, and talk to them about, okay, what's the game going to look like and how is it going to work? And what we were hearing was that they are going to have that set up how you could play like Rock Band, but it's not going to be as intense. You know, you're going to be able to do it like regular, or otherwise they're going to have a section where you can go in and actually learn how to play the guitar, and then maybe down the road you can go to somebody and start learning a little bit more from an actual person that teaches guitar lessons.
Well, peripherals like, you know, and setups like what Gig are doing are really important because, you know, the running rumor right now about Rock Band 3, which has been announced that it will ship in holiday. More than likely, we will see, you know, the biggest pieces of it at E3, is that there are going to be modes in it that are more designed to teach people how to play. You know, the idea that the two guys from MIT had always was to get people interested in learning how to play music and how can we do that. And so I think we've finally got to a point evolution-wise with technology where you can do something like have an actual six string that can trigger events electronically in a console. You can already do that on a computer. I mean,
yes.
You can plug in a guitar into Logic, into Pro Tools, and you can have it trigger any instrument that you want. But how do you translate that into an affordable unit that Joe Schmo off the street could pick up?
Yeah, that's the one thing that, you know, I probably back in the day with my father, he's always like a rabid, you know, guitar player. And he was like, you know, and he saw video games and, hell, I remember playing the Sega Genesis and we bought the golf game setup where you could actually, there was like a laser at the end of the golf club and you'd be able to swing it and it would perform onto the game. He was like, you know what, this is going to be a wave of the future. And I was like, this is definitely a wave of the future and we need, you know, to get on that. And then you got Wii coming out, but it doesn't really feel the same, even with the damn attachment to the controller. But yet, if they could just keep on going and moving up to making it more of the virtual reality that we had back in, like, the 90s and 80s, where it was, like, the headgear and all that other stuff, I would be really happy to see that, you know, especially with TV glasses.
Those Gunner glasses, yeah. That make me real happy.
3D Gunner glasses.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm for that. I vote Pro.
And also, like, the information gets shot right onto the screen, and you're able to see everything right there and then.
That'll work for me.
You'll be in classes or at work just playing a video game right there with your controller under the table. And nobody
knows.
Think
something else is going on.
Yeah.
What are you doing there?
I'm playing with my joystick.
Is that your O-face?
Oops.
No, actually, my O-face is this.
Oh, you guys missed something there. That was special.
It was classic.
That was pretty.
So, best demo or most fun demo that you played?
We went to two.
Okay.
And, the first one we went to, we can't say it was fun, but it was definitely entertaining and also kind of scary at the same time because they were talking about possibly getting stabbed or otherwise...
Being the stabbers?
Being the stabbers. Hold on, let me just make sure I get this correctly. It's online gaming communities, real life relationships.
Real life in quotation marks.
Yeah, like, and I was thinking like, oh yeah, these are the like kind of like relationships you mean like boyfriend, girlfriend kind of things? Like with the gaming community, like you play with them and then you meet up and then get a relationship and get married maybe down the road? No, they were talking about getting actual gaming communities together and saying, you know, yeah, you know, you've been playing with this guy or friend or girl or whatever they are for a long time. And you're like, you know what? Maybe we should hang out and get to know each other a little bit better instead of, like, we know each other by voice and we know each other by code name. But we want to know you guys better. I mean, a lot of them went down the panel. They're like, yeah, I have this one from France. And I met her finally and met the husband. And the guy was just like, everybody's like, oh. And he was just like, screw you guys. And then he's like, yeah, I was actually, like, one of, like, the groomsmen at her wedding or something like that because they got to be that close together. And I was like, this is a great thing because when I come into this, usually I'm just like, everybody's kind of like, yeah. From my environment, usually hostile. It's like, you know, fuck you, get away from me. But now it's like, when I'm coming here, I'm kind of like, holy shit, you could just stop and talk to somebody and get to know more about them in those 2 seconds than you would get, if you knew them, like, in their lifetime. And then you pass cards or you give them your online name and you're maybe expecting them, maybe see them online when you're playing Xbox or, you know, Wii or PC, whatever, any other thing. And this was good because we only saw two, and I say this is probably the best one. We did go see Machinima. And we
Machinima.
Were, Machinima.
Machinima.
All right, besides the music here, dealing with this one, they actually, when we got in there, they were like, what the fuck you guys doing here already? Like, well, because we were media, we were able to get in early right there and then. They were the first opening in that room.
So we got in there, and then the running of the bulls came in, and
bull sound.
Yeah.
Oh, my anus is bleeding.
Besides
wrong
that,
bull. Wrong bull. Wrong bull. Wrong bull.
So we were sitting there, and there was four seats, but three were filled. And the guy, you know, some of them were the head guys of it, but they were like, yeah, one of the guys that we got here didn't get put in. And also, we were actually canceled. But they turned around and said, oh, yeah, we can't really cancel you guys, so you guys are going to have to go up there. And they assured us, they were like, we don't know what the fuck we're doing. We're just here more or less to take your, you know, Q&A right now, so... But they played a couple videos of, like, what they've done. So people, if they didn't know what they did, they were able to put it up there and go, hey, here's one of our joke ones. Like, they put up...
Gary Mon.
Yeah, Gary Mon and the Freeman's Mine and all those other things that were fucking hilarious. And it was great. But it got to the point where they just were like, all right, we're just going to break off into questions now. They didn't, like, for the whole half hour that we were there, they were just like... people getting up and just asking questions, and they're kind of...
Hey, free t-shirt.
Yeah, here's a free t-shirt. Just take the fucking t-shirt. Just get the freaking t-shirt. Get the fuck back down. You know, it was kind of funny that way, but also it was more or less along the lines entertaining than learning anything. They were okay. Just like, yeah, we've dealt... It's like, yeah, this is what we did. This is how we did. We're basically in a closet at one point, just, you know, coming up with funny things and putting them out there, and we got popular. And now we're up to, like, 30 to 50 people now, and we're in a big, like, building, and we're all friends and stuff. You know, we rub elbows with each other, and we've known each other for a while, but they like, the guy came in, like, a year after the company got really big. So it kind of... We got to the point where we're like, all right, dude, we got to leave because
this is kind of getting boring.
Yeah, we kind of got a little bit bored with that one. So out of those two, I think the relationship gaming one was a little bit better, but not trying to shoot down... What is it again?
Machinima.
Machinima. Damn it.
For those who don't truly understand what Machinima does, they do make, like, videos, but they make it with, like, game footage and... That, you know, it's parody-ish type of stuff.
What's it called? Shall we?
Yes, it was hilarious on that.
I came into exposure to them back in my waning WoW days.
I'm so glad we were past those days.
Yes, I completely agree. But even though I was still coming out of that, you know, I could still at the time appreciate the jokes and the references. And they had actually gotten some actual players from one server who could rap and spit. And they made, like, music videos with, like, original lyrics to, like, you know, like, Eminem, Say My Name.
Yeah.
You know, My Name Is, I'm sorry. Wrong one. And
that's Destiny's Child.
Yeah, yes. That's a totally different one. My Name Is, and I mean, like, it was funny and it was entertaining, and there was some product placement in that one, I think, for Mana Energy Drink. But still, that's okay. Shameless plug, electricsmith.com. We all do it.
BossofAnswerBiggie.com.
You again?
But needless to say, you know, like, I didn't even care. I mean, yes, I liked the references to the WoW in the music video, but I liked the fact that they went into the game to find their talent. Like, they didn't just say, oh, well, you can rap, so we'll make you a WoW account, we'll, like, ask Blizzard to deck you out, and then you'll spit. These were actual gamers who came out and said, I can spit, you should hear me, and they made this video. So, I mean, I like that they go into the games that they're using, and they find gamers in it to enhance what they're doing.
Well, the one thing that they were talking about was the flooding of the Halo usage, and they were saying that it kind of was... They were like... Yes, we figured out a way to extend the life of Halo 3 through, you know, doing this, but yet it is going to flood the market because every other goddamn person that's trying to create something funny is using Halo or putting their own kind of perspective into Halo to come out with a funny thing. And it's cool, but sometimes there's just stuff that's just utter crap that should have never gotten put out there. But with Machinima...
Machinima.
All right, fine. I'm not going to say it ever again. Anyways.
Every time you want to say it, point
just
to me, I'll
machine,
say it.
And then I'm up.
Machinima.
Or point at me and I'll say it.
There you go. Machinima. All right, anyways, dealing with that, they more or less, I thought they just did some joke videos along the lines,
right.
But they also did actual visual stuff from the games. And I wanted to go up there and, like, grab one of the guys and be like, give me the equipment that you're using so I could, you know,
do
play the game,
myself.
Record the freaking thing, and, you know, talk about the fucking thing. Because I suck with the electronics that I've got. God damn it! You know, but it was along the lines that, you know, they do have great quality videos that I won't, you know, I kind of wanted to contact them and be like, you know what, is there any way that I can, like, work with you guys so I can actually get, you know, or, and also represent you kind of on the B3 with doing the, using your videos? Because you guys have the highest quality videos that are usually out there, and it's a pain in the ass because I'm always like, I pop on online, I'm like, all right, I got to find a video for the new Battlefield 2, Battlefield Bad Company 2. So I'm like, I'm looking through, I'm like, okay, this isn't it. I pop it on there, son of a bitch, them again. And I was kind of like, fuck, I don't want to be able to use this shit unless I get permission. You know, so it's kind of been a pain in the ass, but when you get something that usually just uses the YouTube setup and you can just go and just take it off their website, right, and it's fine like that. But when you have something that, like, pops up their own logo right in the front of it, you're like, shit, I think I got to get, like, some kind of permission from there. I contacted them before, but they didn't get back to me. So if I see them today, I'm going to tackle them. I'm going to be like, give me permission to use your shit.
All right, so in our waning moments here, two things I want to talk about. Entertainment.
I was just about to say, the most enjoyable thing
that you're going to remember and take away from this PAX. And I am going to start at this side of the table with you.
Okay, that's perfectly fine. In terms of entertainment, the concerts, the two concerts that already have happened. Mm-hmm. We didn't stay for the full set on Friday, but we did come in to see that name that I...
Anna Managuchi.
Thank you. 8-bit rock. Guitar rock.
It was like Andrew W.K. with a little bit of chiptune in it.
For not ever hearing them before, I mean, I instantly recognized the beat and said, oh, I could drive to work with this on and feel good about myself.
And here's what's cool about them is that they're also doing the soundtrack to the upcoming video game adaptation of Scott Pilgrim. Which, if you've never read, you're a fucking idiot.
Hey, I didn't read it. Am I a fucking idiot?
Yes, we're in a fuck idiot sandwich.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm the cheese.
Okay.
Because I like cheese. Anyway, so...
that makes Luanica meat?
Yes, I am the meat.
Oh, never mind. I want to be the meat. I want to be the meat.
Just saying.
You can be the cheese. Anyway, that was good. I mean, I was surprised that we even got into that. I mean, the lines were beefy for that. Beefy and meat, yeah. I think MC Frontalot was in that lineup.
Yeah.
And that other band that was playing last night with Jonathan Colton, I don't remember what their name was. That's Saturday. I'm looking for Friday.
Oh.
Friday.
Yeah, the Proto Man.
Yeah, Proto Man. No, isn't that that's not Animana, the metal.
Metroid Metal.
I think was in the Friday lineup.
And I would recommend going on their MySpace, Metroid Metal, because they do some pretty good stuff.
Yeah, they were really good. So, I mean, that was... I think the music part brought a whole lot of people who weren't in tournaments, and it played a lot of rock band already, and it just, you know, and the beanbags that were already taken up. I mean, it gave them some place to just go and relax and enjoy being around other gamers. I mean, we spent more time at the Saturday night concert where there was the video game orchestra, there was Paul and Storm, and then there was Jonathan Colton. And you could just see, because we were up on the balcony, DS's open, netbooks open. You know, people are swaying them to the slow songs. You know, and there was actually like 3 lighters. So, I mean, you guys had your technology with you. I don't understand why. You know, and they had really big flames. I'm like, you're gonna set somebody on fire.
That thing was like a 5-inch flame.
I was waiting for someone to get caught on fire, but that didn't happen. So they have really good fire control.
I will say though, I was surprised that Jonathan Colton didn't perform with the whole band for his entire set.
You got to give it to the man. Even though he didn't have a full orchestra, he still had everybody by their nutsicles.
Yes.
I mean, and the really interesting thing about Paul and Storm is, you know, apparently they're the opening band for
Jonathan Colton.
Yeah, and they even have an opening song called Opening Act about being the guys that you're not really there to see because you're waiting to see the guy who comes after us, but you have to listen to us anyway because until we're done, you won't see them. I mean, so apparently you can tell that they're obviously friends with Jonathan Colton because the playoff was just, it was funny. And I mean, and they were good.
They reminded me a lot of Tenacious D.
Yes. a lot.
Like a geekier version of Tenacious D, if there ever was
I would think Tenacious D plus They Might Be Giants in a blender with orange.
Oh, and a little bit of Bare Naked Ladies, too.
Little
the more humorous song.
Yes. A little bit of that in a blender. Chill it. You've got an awesome audio Slurpee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was good, and I really liked it. I mean, we were all just rolling. I mean, believe it or
come
not,
on,
you
James
know,
Taylor on fire.
They did. These two, they were like, you know, we want to do these little tributes, and they did. That guy on fire. And then they're like, Aaron Neville, on his way to the mall to go shopping, finds the best parking space in the world, and then somebody takes it from him.
I was on the way to the car, and then to the mall, and I was about to kick in there, and then someone took it. Motherfucker!
It was, just think, Aaron, yeah, fuck you. Like, I mean, it was good. It was, you couldn't help but laugh. I mean, when we were waiting to get in, you know, because even though the main floor had its door open so you could literally walk in and go to the standing area, it was late. Izar wanted to sit, as did, you know, Kropotkin, because he was with us,
yeah.
You know, and the Bastards. As soon as we walked in, it was hilarious because Kropotkin looked straight at me and he's like, it's like a fucking pit. All the dust particles and the confunk was just lingerings in the air. Very hazy.
Hazy layer of confunk.
Yes. Well, I mean, believe it or not, I'm surprised that there wasn't much confunk here.
Gamers aren't dirty people.
Some are.
Some are.
Some are.
But
I mean, I was expecting, I mean,
body wash.
We did walk by one person who had
and
the
and we had one on the train coming in.
Yes,
but there was, but one
they was, had the funk.
One of them was picking his ass right in front of me.
Yeah, it was horrible.
I was like, and I was like,
good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
It was horrible. Big slow motion.
That was the worst thing. Some people, like, dude, you guys got to wear some, like, fucking belts or something like that, or make sure
I've seen so much Kraken.
Yeah. I was like,
beware of the Kraken.
Shiza.
So, I mean, entertainment-wise, I mean, everything that I've sat down and really sat and listened to, I'm like, I've really enjoyed. I really wish I had gone to see, what was it, Metroid Metal?
Yeah.
They were really good. And I mean, I know they're in the first lineup. I was like, I don't know them, so I'm not even going to try. And now I've come to realize that I should just get over myself and try things. Most memorable moment for this whole thing. I did get to talk to
Arnie Meyer.
Yeah, out of that panel. And I mean, I had a great conversation with him. And I mean, I felt good coming off of that conversation. So I mean, it's between that and I played one bit of Rock Band over at the free play area on the second floor here, and I was last minute bassist for this band that just didn't have one. I said, you know what? Okay, I'm gonna do this. I've been staring you down for like 15 minutes. It's go time. And the band that I jump into, very nice people. I gave them cards. So I hope you're gonna listen to the show because I'm plugging you guys. You were awesome. Loved your costumes. And The band guy who wanted to sing a Boston song. And I'm like, so apparently we're all from Boston. Okay then, I'm down. I'm like, I'm the bassist. All I have to do is look down and look depressed, and people are going to think I'm hot, so that's okay. And we decided to sing more Than a Feeling. So, I mean, this guy was amazing on vocals. He hit all those notes. I think he got like a 99, because he did miss one, because his voice just gave out during one of those last... one of those moments. I mean, but everyone was just like, yeah, you know. And I mean, I'm feeling good, and apparently I was, you know, too much of my emo bassist depression to realize that a news camera crew had shown up, plotted in front, and was taping our song. And as we come off the stage, the guy who was monitoring is like, and you will make the 7 o'clock news.
Yay!
Not to mention also Will Wheaton had come out and watched us too, but I was too emo to notice, which sucks for me.
You should never be too emo to notice Will Wheaton.
I'm sorry. I love you. And those are my moments.
My moments, just basically meeting everybody that I met. My series of moments right now. You're gonna kill me with that shit,
Jay.
I'm gonna repeat what they said. All right, now it's getting a little bit old. All right, now shut the fuck up. Because that's what he was. He's like, everybody, they're like, oh, okay, guys, it's funny the 19th time. Oh, shut the fuck up.
Shut up.
I'm trying to finish our goddamn song.
So, it was dealing with a lot of the companies that we were with, and I'm hoping that that we were able to get together on a lot of stuff. They're able to keep me in the loop. That's my main mission, and I think I've done a very good job in obtaining the loop. More or less.
That was cosplay from The World Ends With You, which is a great DS game. You should get it.
Yes. But, to see that there's, all these technologies, I went walking around. I mean, I got Antec here. I was able to talk with them, and they pressed the living hell out of me because they gave me the full display of it. They showed me how the computer case works, how you're able to actually get to the fans without having to take the whole damn computer apart, because I know I have that issue. But it's like, when you learn about it, it's like, fuck, why didn't I think of that? Or, fuck, I had an idea like that, and...
It's a chip of great ideas. They're stealing our ideas.
Yes, but it's great to have come into this and be like, what the fuck am I getting myself into? To what the fuck have I been missing? Where the hell have I been? And why the hell hasn't this already been here? Why did it take till 2010 to get this motherfucking thing on the East Coast? And well, the other thing that's good was that it ended up here in Boston. So otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to go. Unless it was New Hampshire, then just maybe, I would have been able to go on that one. But
do they even have a center of this size?
Not
or
really?
Bigger?
New Hampshire is
like PAX East, wild style.
Yeah.
Yeehaw! I'm gonna be at the Sheridan Tree on the fifth branch.
Yeah, but I mean, along those lines, it definitely was a great learning experience. And seeing that I'm getting the hell out of college in May, I'm like, fuck yeah, whenever I get a chance to, and I got the money to go to wherever the hell it's going to be held, I'm going. I'm going to love every moment of going to everything, and hopefully I'm going to be able to beef up on my technology, especially getting a better camera, bringing the tripod.
Sorry about that.
My arm is tired. But anyways, you learn from all your little mistakes now, and then down the road you'll be so much more professional, and I feel that hopefully I can obtain that. Besides, if I become a police officer, then I'm going to be trying to figure out how the fuck I'm going to pull that off at the same time.
Yeah. Duh.
My first booth babe picture.
Yes. Yes. I took the picture, and he that's the funny thing.
At least you are honest.
With Fred there at Triton, he goes and puts his arms around Fred, and he goes and puts his arm around, and he's like, damn, get comfortable while you're at it. That picture is up on also the review that we did with Triton, and you can see...
It's also on my Facebook now.
Yes, yes, it's on his Facebook, and he's rocking that picture like, giggity, giggity, goo.
And Pink Taco, our fellow bastard, who you haven't
She's
officially
jealous.
Heard yet... On the show, she said, nice boob, babe.
So,
but this was great. This is a great first video game conference experience for me.
So, that leaves only you, Ninja.
I'm going to have to say that the moment that kind of stuck out for me was one that didn't actually happen to me. So, I was... reading Twitter, because, we've been posting a lot of things on the website and on Twitter at the same time, and I heard tell of a story, and it just kind of was like, yes, that is the game moment, that there was somebody that was walking down by the queue area that had on a green t-shirt and a red balloon and was just walking through the floor, and all of a sudden the crowd started yelling, Jason!
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 Which is a reference to... pretty much the start of Heavy Rain. And I thought, you know what? That is so cool. That it is such a community. And there are all these little moments where so many people are just getting along.
Memes are boring.
I mean, there's been no issues. There haven't been any fights.
No stabbings. No rapings.
The cops haven't had to come in at all.
Nope. And the male to female ratio is there's 20 guys to every chick.
Yeah. And the other thing that I have to put on that is there was beating of the king here, because every time we got done with an interview, I was grabbing him by the backpack.
We got another one!
Yeah, true that.
It's so cool because you know, even people that were waiting in the line downstairs to buy shirts, somebody bought a beach ball, and so they were all playing back and forth. And when they got it outside of the line, people in the audience that were just walking by in the hall bounced it back, and they were like, yeah, we didn't have to go get it. You know, there's all these elements of community, and it's just so great to see so many diverse sides of the community be able to come together for 3 days and just have fun and really enjoy each other. And I love that about this community. I love that about this event. And I can't wait to do the next one.
Me neither.
Me neither.
So, I don't have anything to declare. I'm pretty sure you don't have anything to declare. Because if I declare what I know that I want to declare, you're going to get mad at me. But I want to say that it has been really a lot of fun running around with the BC crew, meeting up with everybody from Game Hounds and running into the All Game Fam and Bit Mob Rich. I mean, it's just been really, really cool to see everybody. I can't wait to see you at the next event. And yeah, so I'm Ninja Sista.
Oh, and I am the person who doesn't remember how our show ends. And I am Pandalicious.
I am Blue Onyx.
And I am King Baby Duck.
And we are signing off from PAX East, Boston.
Sayonara, bitches.